1017 and Truth. Happy hump day, Milwaukee. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in on this Wednesday. I hope that everybody had an amazing day. I'm kicking back with my good brother, Brother Z. We have a full show for you guys. There is a lot that is happening. However, I want to get into, obviously, news, but then a better discussion towards the 5 o'clock hour. We have a serious first hour today, and I want to stay right here at home because Milwaukee has several developing stories that deserves more than a headline. We are starting with the Department of Emergency Communications and the investigation into delayed 911 response involving a 99-year-old woman. Nearly 3 hours passed between the first call for help and the arrival of emergency crews.
Damn.
Two call takers have now resigned, and a dispatcher is receiving additional training. Then we are talking about another violent weekend in Milwaukee. Police investigated 6 shooting locations that left one person dead and several injured, with victims ranging from just 1 year old to the age of 35. We also have a brand new Marquette Law School poll in the Wisconsin governor's race. David Crowley is currently leading above Tom Tiffany, 49 to 44 among likely voters. But among all registered voters, the race is currently tied at 44% each. So we are going to talk about what actually decides this race: affordability, crime, schools, turnout, national politics, or something else entirely. Now, I also have an urgent message alert about an 8-year-old that is missing. However, I was just recently updated that, shout out to Tori Lowe, that she has been found. However, the question is, why was she found with the people she was found with? We're going to dig into that and what that looks like for youth, our youth out here. And before we leave the news hour, I'm going to close the loop on the garage and the No Milwaukee rap list. We talked about it yesterday. I'm not doing yesterday's conversation again. I made my position clear, but I released a statement, and I want Milwaukee to hear exactly where I stand in my own words. Then at 5, we are going to completely reset. I seen on social media that Sierra recently sparked a conversation about men who have a lot of female friends and whether or not that can be a red flag. But I'm not interested in the elementary version of that conversation. Can men and women be friends? Of course they can. I want to go somewhere much deeper. What happens when two adults genuinely were platonic friends for years? No hidden motives, no secret affairs, no waiting for an opportunity. And then the emotional meaning of that relationship changes. Was attraction subconsciously there all along? Can attraction genuinely develop later? What happens if the timing is complicated? What does an ex deserve? What does friendships deserve? And what does healing require? And can people become so afraid of making the wrong decision that they refuse to examine a legitimate possibility? That's after 5. First, let's get into this news. So I want to begin with that story I was talking about that's concerning everybody. Whether or not you are an elder, we all have elders in our family, right? So I couldn't imagine my mom having to wait when she's in need and has an emergency. Listening to the call, well, not listening to the call, but reading about the 911 call, I believe this is like the second time that this has happened within the past couple of months in the city of Milwaukee. You obviously don't call 911 because you are mildly inconvenienced. You call because there is something that has exceeded your ability to safely handle it yourself. So on July 22nd, a third-party medical alert company contacted Milwaukee's Department of Emergency Communications regarding a 99-year-old woman. Minutes later, the company called again. During that call, audio captured a man threatening the woman. Still, first responders were not sent. Nearly 3 hours after the first call, the woman herself was able to call 911. She had been attacked and suffered serious injuries. Today, Milwaukee's Department of Emergency Communications announced personnel actions following its internal investigation. Two call takers resigned and one dispatcher is receiving additional training. Now, personnel consequences matter. We all know that. Training matters and procedures matter as well. But I want us to think beyond the employment decision. Imagine being 99 years old and believe that help is coming. And then imagine waiting. Hour one goes by. Hour two goes by. Hour three goes by. Every sound in the house matters differently when you are waiting on somebody to save you. So my question is not simply who made the mistake. My question is, what does accountability look like? What does accountability look like when a citizen does exactly what society tells them to do? Call for help, and the system fails to deliver that help because replacing an employee can address personnel. Training can address procedures, but neither one automatically restores public trust. And trust is the currency of emergency services. The next time an elderly Milwaukee resident calls 911 and hears help is on the way, do they hear that sentence with the same confidence? That's what the city of Milwaukee has to repair. If you call 911 and help doesn't come, who should ultimately be accountable? The employee, department, leadership, city government, or the entire chain? Now, again, even if you aren't an elder, we have elders in our family and we know elders as well. At the end of the day, nobody should ever be in a situation like that, despite of what the age is. I get that. I do want to say this because I always try not to be biased and I always try to, advocate on both sides. At the end of the day, nobody should have to wait 3 hours when they are in need, right? And I get that the representatives, the 911 dispatchers, that they receive an amount of calls per day that anyone can never imagine unless you are working inside of a call center. And those calls can range from something as simple as, someone fell down and hurt themselves to obviously something, way worse. But my problem is, even as a dispatcher, even if I receive all types of calls throughout the duration of me working, at some point, you being humane, especially when it comes to an elderly person, has to kick in, right? Ultimately, this is why you took the job. You took the job because you felt the need to assist with the safety of the citizens and the constituents in the city of Milwaukee. So if there is indeed a step that you missed during training, or if you are unsure, your job is to obviously stay on the call, but alert whoever it is that you need to alert as soon as possible, right? Also to follow up. I don't think I've ever had to call 911 and request an ambulance, but I can imagine that the dispatcher, typically stays online with that person. So if you have a 99-year-old elderly woman calling stating that someone is attacking her and you can hear the attacker in the background, why wouldn't you stay on that call? And obviously, we're busy. I get it. I understand it. But 3 hours is insane. And it makes me question the communication between departments. How long does it take for the ambulance to, get the dispatch? It goes inside of the system. The police, report all of these things. Are they going to send out police officers at the same time that the ambulance is coming? Or is it the fire trucks? What is the protocol, right? What is the policy? What is the procedure? At the end of the day, yes, you have to follow it, but you should follow being humane first. And there's something about this story that just doesn't sit right with me, because there's no way I can sleep at night or look myself in the mirror knowing that an elderly lady at the age of 99 years old, who apparently did not have anyone in her family living with her or around her to assist her, is being physically attacked by someone. And then it takes 3 hours for them to arrive, right? Where was the dispatcher during the 3 hours? Like, I don't understand that process. My heart goes out to the elderly woman, and I genuinely hope that she seeks some type of justice. But again, we got to do a better job. I wonder what happened to where one of them got fired and or quit, and the other one, they're just going to do training. I'm interested in learning what that was about. We got to go to break. Coming back, we are staying with public safety. Milwaukee is reporting progress in violence reduction, but this past weekend involved 6 shooting locations, 1 person killed and several injured. One of those victims was just 1 year old. So here's the question, Milwaukee. When the stats say violence is improving, but families still experience weekends like this, does the community actually feel safer? We are going to talk about that next. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. DJ Khaled. I don't got no brakes, so there ain't no stopping this. I'm the youngest popping. They want to stop the fire, but it's too late. They got super lit. You see the way I pull it. See the way these diamonds hit. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Before we went to break, we were talking about the violence in the city. Milwaukee police has investigated 6 weekend shooting locations that left 1 person dead and several injured. The victims range from 1 year old to 35 years old. And I want to be careful with this conversation because 2 things can be true at the same time. If shootings and homicides are declining overall, that progress absolutely should be acknowledged, right? We don't have to manipulate facts because 1 weekend was horrific, but stats measures incidents, right? They don't always measure fear. You can tell a mother that the violence is down, but if she is still afraid to let her child play outside, her lived experiences of safety hasn't necessarily changed. You can also show someone a chart, but if they are still hearing gunfire outside of their home, that chart may feel very far removed from their reality. And when a 1-year-old child becomes a shooting victim, people don't experience that emotionally as a percentage. So Milwaukee has to be mature enough to hold 2 truths, right? Yes, measurable progress matters. And yes, what happened this weekend is still unacceptable. Those statements don't contradict each other. However, the real goal can't simply be getting the 1 number down. The goal has to be getting to the point where residents can actually feel the difference in their everyday lives. And I wholeheartedly support that, right? Because, again, 2 things can be true at the same time. The problem that I have is when there is a lot of shootings or a lot of violence that's happening around the city, and then the city officials come and say, hey, the violence is decreasing. Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not sure if the timing of that message is appropriate, especially when you are dealing with families who are losing someone as young as 1 year old. No one wants to hear. Someone who recently lost someone due to violence does not want to hear that the crime is down. They want to hear about what you're going to do to prevent the crime. So again, 2 things can be true at 1 time. However, it's all about the timing, right? We can't make it subjective to say, hey, I can only imagine how it feels as a city leader to really be doing the work, right? And obviously, anyone in elected official seat or position does not have the ability to completely eliminate crime. We all know this. But again, it goes back to let's hear more about solutions to decrease the crime, rather than hearing the crime has already decreased while families are still out here mourning and going through the things that they're going through. More prevention, more police, more youth programming, more accountability at home, better economic opportunities, a different relationship between neighborhoods and government. All of these conversations continuously pops up whenever we have a situation where there are multiple shootings during the weekend. And we also know that the weather plays a huge part in that as well. But again, at the end of the day, the reality is crime will never end. That's the reality, right? But another reality is making sure that everybody plays their part. One of the things that I continue to say is do not wait until it's your child before you choose to act. That don't mean you have to be on the front lines. That doesn't mean you have to protest and march and, you know, so on and so on. But you still should be active in your community, right? Don't wait until you are affected directly before you want to take action. It's important because at the end of the day, we all have a responsibility when it comes to the safety of this city. Everybody that lives in this city has a responsibility. We have a caller on the line. Brian, are you there? Hello, Brian.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you so much for tapping in. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just want to say a few things before you cut me off. I'm kind of old school, so bear with me.
Absolutely.
I think to solve this problem, what has to be done is we got to stop listening to these old, tired stories about the youth that have messed up society. I just got to say, your youth, the people that are your age and younger, have messed up good folks' society. It's just, I got to say it the way it is. Y'all have messed up. Not you personally, but your generation now and below you have messed up black society for eons to come.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Brian.
Keep hearing their issues, and we just got to stop listening to it. Because over and over again, we hear this BS about what their problems have been for decades now.
So I have a question for you, Mr. Brian. When you say my generation, can you be specific about the age group that you are referring to?
14 to 38.
Okay. And so you believe that my generation is included inside of dismantling the city or the culture and the society?
Yeah, it's trash. I don't understand about it. But the age group 14 to 38 is complete trash. Mm. You got restaurants shutting down. You got societies that don't want you there. Anywhere. You got garage shut down. You got whole cities catching hell because of the way you guys act based on rap, based on the culture. It's just trash.
So let me ask you a question, Mr. Brian. What were you guys doing in the 70s when Rick James was out and everybody was doing coke?
That or heroin? That precipitated.
Okay. Thank you so much for tapping in with us. You know, listen, at the end of the day, you know, I understand why people feel the way that they feel, especially if their generation is not a part of our generation and everybody is entitled to their own opinion. I personally don't believe that one generation has, done all, like we can't just blame it on one or two generations as far as what is happening. It is a ripple effect, right? And the reason why I say that is because A, the generation that is above the generation that's above me, meaning those who are in their 70s, 60s, and 50s, they grew up, well, actually the 70s and 60s, they grew up during the civil rights movement. They grew up during a time where their parents migrated from the South or they were in the South and they had to deal with things that we didn't deal with, right? Which ultimately led to a different type of parenting style. And when you were growing up in that time frame, there were certain restrictions, certain things, the state, the culture, the society overall just wasn't safe for black people, right? Then you have the generation that's under them, which would be the people who are in their late 40s and 50s. Might I add, that generation, majority of the black men in that generation was a part of the mass incarceration in the 94 crime bill, which means that there was an entire generation removed. And that's where the translation was lost. Right. So now we're fast forward into my generation, the babies, the 80s babies. The 80s babies who were either raised in the 80s and 90s or born in the 80s and raised in the 90s. And I like to say that my generation, for the most part, we are doing very well, given the fact that a lot of us had to deal with bills in our name before we were of age. A lot of us had to deal with parents who got caught up in the crack epidemic or the heroin epidemic, any war on drugs that has been caused and oppressed. On oppressed people, right? There are so many different challenges that we had to deal with, not to mention coming up in a generation where technology didn't exist. Then technology was created, and now we're currently living in society where technology exists, right? So you have all of these different generations that were, you know, that grew up differently in different times with different understandings, different parenting styles, all of the above. And then we sit here and we criticize generations by saying that this generation is trash, this generation is trash, this generation messed it up for everybody, as if the same thing that is going on now wasn't going on back then. Everything that's happening now is no different than the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, or the early 2000s. The only thing that changed was the drugs, the type of drugs, okay? In the 50s and 60s, you had people on heroin. The 70s, too. 70s and 80s, you got crack and coke, right? These children today are dealing with pills. They are dealing with lean, you know, different types of substances, which ultimately can alter your mind. Not to mention the music is different, but that's by design as well. So I say that to say we have to be very careful, especially as elders, right? That doesn't solve the problem. When I hear an elder say that the generations under them has completely destroyed society, it makes me question, what have you done to prevent that? What role have you played in society? Have you attempted to talk to someone of the younger generation? Have you even attempted to try to understand what they are facing? And this isn't the blame game. I'm not going to do that. I'm simply asking, because a lot of times people who don't have any type of rapport with the generation under them are so quick to judge them. We have no idea what these babies are going through. I just got done talking to Tori, and he was updating me on an 8-year-old girl that was missing. In all actuality, nobody took her. She ran away with a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old who are a part of the system. But if you see that 12-year-old and that 15-year-old and that 8-year-old girl on the streets, you're automatically going to assume that somebody is not parenting their children, or that these children are wild, or that they off the chain, not knowing that these kids are in foster care. These babies have no home. They don't have food. They don't have anywhere to go. They really out here getting it how they live. But because you are so stuck in your ways of viewing everybody the same way, you automatically assume that they are a part of the problem. Let's finish this conversation when we come back from break. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
She's a very kinky girl.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Are your finances low and your mindset off track? Are you ready to get into real estate? Tune in to The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step towards building a better future. And shout out to Coach Erica. Make sure y'all tap in with her every Saturday. I believe she starts September 12th. Yep. So before we went to break, we were talking about, I'm laughing, y'all, because I really don't like, first of all, Brother Z killing
it. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Cocaine is a hell of,
let him know,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Let him know in case they forgot. We were talking about the state of the city of Milwaukee as it pertains to violence, right? And we had older gentleman, Mr. Brian, called in. And let me be clear. At 38, I am very respectable. I respect my elders. There is no way, Mr. Brian, if you are listening, that I would ever disrespect you in any manner. But I am a grown woman, and I am entitled to my opinion. And because you listed my generation specifically, I feel the need to respond. And one of the issues that I believe that we have, this is one of the main issues when it comes to generations, is that everybody blames the generation that's under them. The problem with that is the things we all have been dealing with when it comes to oppression as Black people has not changed. The only thing that the system hasn't changed. The only thing that has changed is the time and the type of drugs, the type of music, right? But the agenda at hand for the masses of the people has not changed. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to understand the amount of work that has went into completely dismantling generations, right? There is work that has been put into these systems to make sure that our generations are the way that they are now. Are we a part of the problem? Absolutely. But again, I've said this before earlier this week or last week. When you look at the amount of years that has gone into the oppression of Black people, you cannot subtract that by 2 to 3 generations. All right? We're talking hundreds of years of agendas and motives. System set in place to completely dismantle generations to come, right? And then you want us to fix it in 30 days or a year or two. No, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. We're so busy going back and forth about which generation is in the wrong that we're still not properly preparing to make sure the generations that comes after us do not have to deal with what we are currently dealing with. We still falling for the okie doke. We still are not. And when I say we, I'm not talking about, I got a trust fund for my children, or I'm going to leave my children a house, or I'm going to leave my children some businesses, right? Yes, that is you, but that's subjective. I'm talking about the community overall. When these people set these systems into place, they wasn't just thinking about how it was going to benefit just them and their family. No. It was about their race, their ethnicity overall. That is the problem that we have. What are we doing to make sure that the systems that are set in place to continuously dismantle our generations, what are we doing about it? Other than going back and forth, blaming it on one generation, right? And it's crazy because my generation, really, we successful. Like, we be out the way. We don't be involved in a lot of stuff. I'm not saying that's the case for, you know, everybody, obviously, in my generation. Also, there are a lot of youth who don't be involved in the things that you see. It reminds me of what we was talking about yesterday, Brother Z, when they say no Milwaukee rap music and how people are so easily quick to just bunch us up all into one box. You all the same. Your entire generation is trash. That's crazy. I've never heard someone say that before. And most definitely, if our generation was to say that the older generation is trash, we're going to get chewed out. And there's a lot of things we can talk about when it comes to the older generation and the way that they move, right? And the things that they do. And because they were taught that they think is normal. No, that's why we are stuck now trying to break generational curses because of your generation. Because of the things because of the uncle who was touching on his niece, okay? Because of the parents that was on crack cocaine or heroin, right? Because y'all didn't whoop y'all kids so much, beat them with extension cords and switches. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a whooping. I believe in absolutely, you know, at that time, you got to be careful nowadays in whooping children. But some of y'all used to beat your children. So there's a lot that we can talk about when it comes to different generations, right? And again, I mean this in the most respectful way. However, as a grown woman and a mother who has 2 adult children, what I don't condone is blaming one generation or multiple generations on the way that things are, because there's a lot of things that go into it. And that's why I love my people so much. I love my people so much because, and I give my people grace because I understand that a lot of us don't even, we don't even comprehend all of the things that we have been through as a whole. Everybody is so worried about themselves. They're very subjective. They're worried about them and their families only. They're not looking at the entire picture and everything that has. I always give my people grace because I understand that a lot of us don't view it that way, right? You may not know why you act the way you do, but I know why. I know what oppression does. I know what oppression does to our people. I know what systems and institutions does to our people. Therefore, yes, do we make mistakes? Evidently, we do. But if something is already set up in place, that means that we never had a fair shot to begin with. So it is extremely unfair to say that all of these generations under us, under you guys, have caused these issues, given the amount of battles that we have had to face and was not properly prepared to face. The real truth and reality is, yes, are we messed up? We all are messed up. But at the end of the day, we are dealing with generations who are rebels. And they have misguided anger, absolutely. But things are different. The schools are different. Society is different. Life is different. Bills are different. Everything is different. Be a part of the prod, the solution, and not the problem. Shout out to the chat. Madi says, Jazzy Tyler hit different. That is hilarious. Not Jazzy, Madi. Gotta be careful. Don't let the evil or the money trap me. When you see me, you better holler at me. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. He also said that drugs, guns, alcohol, diseases killed us in the 60s, 70s, big time. Nothing new under the sun. It's just dressed up differently. Amen to that. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that we all have been dealing with the same thing for quite some time now, right? Yet we still try to find ways to nitpick with these different generations because we don't like what's happening, right? And I love having these conversations with older adults, primarily because I need them to understand what these generations are dealing with, right? And I need them to also remember, y'all ain't no saints. Y'all was back popping cooch back in the day, too, smoking crack, tooting, doing heroin, or hustling, pimping, everything. You name it, under the sun. Y'all was outside, too. Y'all was outside, too. Y'all music just sounded bad. She's a very freaky girl. Come on now. Everything y'all dealt with back in the day is the things we are dealing with now. The only difference is the music was different. The respect was different, but it's still the same. It's still the same. The system, the same systems were set into place as well. So no generation is better than the other. Are some generations slightly misguided? Absolutely. But again, to call an entire 2 to 3 generations trash, it's like, oh, don't forget that if you don't be a part of the solution, these are going to be the generations that have to take care of the elders. Like, yeah, not while y'all in retirement mode. I'm talking about they're going to be running the world. So now I'm going to speak to my generation and the generation above me. Yes, it's important for us to be part of the solution because the generations under us are going to be taking care of us when we become elders. So if you feel as if it's not your responsibility, I'm sorry, my friend, you are sadly mistaken. You are indeed insane in the membrane. It is all of our issues, right? All of our issues. When we come back, I want to tap a little bit onto the 8-year-old that was missing, primarily because it wasn't the typical missing case that you guys will automatically assume. There are some things that we need to discuss. Do not touch that dial. We got to go pay some bills. Brother Z, take us to break. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Before we went to break, I was touching on the generations, but also the 8-year-old young lady who was missing. So I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, in the news, it went out that there was an 8-year-old who was missing, right? And ultimately, when you see this, you automatically think, man, somebody snatched her up or what happened, right? I have a 9-year-old, so I couldn't imagine getting that phone call, God forbid. But apparently, an 8-year-old young lady was missing, right? And she was found safely. But her going missing, yes, that was an issue. But what was even more concerning was the fact that she was found with a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. And these young ladies that she were found with apparently are in the system. The 12-year-old, her sister is currently in DT, and they all ran away. They was outside all night long, right? So who's to blame? We say the parents, we can't blame the parents. Evidently, they weren't doing something right. I don't know the situation with the parents, but I'm just giving my opinion based off of the fact that they are currently in the system. But we can't blame the parents because the parents obviously weren't doing right. So the state picked the babies up and put them inside of a system and inside of the system. And currently, if I'm not mistaken, they are in either a foster home or a group home, whatever it is. At the end of the day, the fact that an 8-year-old ran away with not only a 12-year-old, but a 15-year-old is mind-boggling. Because the first question you want to ask is, what is going on with the group homes and the foster care system? So much to the point, and let me be clear again. I have to advocate because I used to work at a youth shelter, and I know that a lot of these children, some of them have issues, some of them have IEPs or anger issues, some of them don't have any issues at all, and you can't control all of them, right? Especially if they aren't taking medication, if the medication is needed. So somebody is bound to run away, right? But again, why are they running away? What is the core issue? I couldn't imagine finding this 8-year-old child with a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. The reason why I am purposely reiterating that is because these are the types of situations that our babies are dealing with in the city of Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not saying that's the case for all youth that age, but at the end of the day, this is what we are dealing with. This is what we are dealing with. And apparently the youth, when you see all of these missing cases, and this is something that we've known for quite some time now, but I'm not sure if we knew that it was, this serious, that a lot of these kids have created their own system, their own runaway system, right? So parents, my call to action to you is make sure you are checking your basements, your house, wherever your child can sneak another child into. Because harboring a missing child is a crime. Harboring a missing child is one thing if the child says, hey, I'm 18, right? It's another thing if the child is not an adult and they are actively missing. So, and then the community, if you see something that don't look right, because you can't tell me that nobody's seen an 8-year-old child with her book bag with a 12-year-old child and a 15-year-old child just out in the middle of the night. Evidently, one person did because they called, but how many more people prior to that seen these babies? That right there is a problem. That right there is a problem. Mighty says, each black generation is getting better and better. Y'all smarter than y'all parents. Thank you so much, Mighty. I truly appreciate that. Moving on to yesterday's topic, right? Before we leave the news hour, I want to close the loop on something we spent 2 to 3 hours talking about yesterday, and that is the garage. A leaked no playlist associated with the Brady Street establishment included dozens of black rap and hip hop artists and specifically stated no Milwaukee rap. The garage has said that the goal was to avoid music referencing violence and guns and create a more relaxed atmosphere, but acknowledged that creating a list of artists was the wrong approach. Ownership has also said that the list was created without its approval. Yesterday, I told y'all exactly how I feel about it. Today, I'm not going to spend another hour asking whether or not Milwaukee artists should be offended, because I am a Milwaukee artist and I am most definitely offended. So what I did instead was release the statement because I wanted my position represented clearly in my own words. So we received a lot of calls yesterday. A lot of those calls were from obviously the older generation who kept saying, hey, if you don't like it, don't go there. Stop wanting to be accepted by these people, knowing that they don't like us and they don't want us around and so on and so on. And I think that the entire point was missed. The point is not that we are looking for acceptance. The point is that it's disrespectful and it's prejudice. No matter how you put it, and right is right and wrong is wrong. So anyone who thinks the concern surrounding the garage is about wanting acceptance is missing the point. This is not about whether one establishment chooses to play Milwaukee rap. It's about the principle behind publicly singling out an entire city's rap culture. Businesses have every right to control the environment of their establishment, including the age of the attendees and the type of music they chose to play. But there is a difference between being selective about content and broadly labeling Milwaukee rap as something that should not be played. Milwaukee artists have invested years into their craft, right? Built legitimate careers and worked to have our music recognized in our own city. To reduce all of that work to a blanket no Milwaukee rap statement was distasteful and disrespectful to the artists, DJs, producers, and supporters who have helped build Milwaukee's hip hop culture. This isn't about needing validation from the garage or any other establishment. Milwaukee's culture does not require anyone's permission to exist. It's simply about respect. And when something becomes public, the response and accountability should just be that. And that is where I stand. I am leaving yesterday's argument there. Milwaukee artists do not need to spend every day proving that Milwaukee culture deserves respect. We know what we built. We've been doing the work. And again, I'll reiterate it. It has nothing to do with the fact that we want to be accepted, because this isn't something that we haven't dealt with before. We've dealt with it on Water Street back in the day with Brothers and Bar Louie and different establishment when it came to our attire, right? We've dealt with it on multiple occasions, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but the state of Wisconsin. But again, for those who are not understanding, we are not trying to be accepted, but we will be respected. We put in a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this grind so that we can have some type of music scene here in the city of Milwaukee. And I get it. Everybody don't listen to the same music. We understand, right? But let me be clear. Not every artist make the same type of music either. And a lot of these artists are benefiting from the work that has gone into situations where we can have our music played inside of the bars or the clubs, right? Might I add, there are very successful artists who are benefiting from DJs playing their music in the club, on the radio station, or just simply supporting them, period. You can't go to a Los Angeles and say don't play no L.A. Rap music. You can't go to Atlanta and say don't play any Atlanta rap music boldly and do it, right? So why do you have to do it here? Why are we doing it here? You are setting a trend to other establishments that it's okay to treat the music artist a certain way, and it's not. It's not okay. Whether you respect the industry or not, it doesn't matter. It's our culture and we own it. You don't have to be a part of it, but goddamn it, again, it's ours. They take everything from us, right? Y'all already oppress us. Y'all already put us in situations to where you bunch us up into one category. Leave our culture alone, man. Y'all done bought all the record labels, everything. And now y'all complaining about music being played in the bar. And Brother Z is someone who DJs on Brady Street as well. So it's not just the artists who are offended, it's the DJs also. Respect the culture, man. Respect the music. People really out here taking this serious. This is how they feed their families. I don't really care about whether it was leaked on purpose or not. At the end of the day, somebody made it. I'm going to tell you what I do believe. I believe that whoever runs that portion of that establishment gave that list to the DJ, and the DJ leaked it. Hey, y'all, let me show y'all what's going on here. Let me show y'all how they really getting down. And then whoever is over there, PR, decides to, you know, fluff us up. Hey, that's not what we meant. You know, it wasn't like that. We didn't approve it. And out of here. Whether you wrote it or not, something happened. A transaction happened, a situation, a conversation happened with that DJ that made you say, hey, we don't want this type of music. And shout out to whoever it was that did leak it. Because had that not happened, we would have still been spending our money at this location knowing damn well they do not want us there. So, again, stop disrespecting Milwaukee rap music culture and step to the side. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But that does not give you a right to single us out, right? All right, so Milwaukee, we are going to leave the news right there because it's Wednesday, it's hump day. Listen, it's been a long week for me. And when we come back at 5, I'm intentionally starting on an entirely different conversation. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by pretending there's some perfect seg between municipal government, violence, politics, the garage, and what we are about to discuss. There isn't. This is just simply a new hour, a new conversation. So Sierra recently had people talking after she asked whether a man having a lot of female friends is a red flag. Now, the internet did what the internet always does and reduced a conversation to one sentence. But her actual position was more interesting. And that's exactly why I want to move beyond the question everybody always asks. Can men and women really be friends? Absolutely. I don't need 2 hours for that. I have men in my life whom I love deeply. Handsome men. Good men. Men I respect. And if somebody told me tomorrow that I had to date some of them, I would immediately seek medical attention. Absolutely not, right? However, that does not mean that there aren't situations, you know, where you may be attracted eventually to someone that you consider a friend, right? And we're going to talk about that. Do not touch that dial. Let's have a good time. Milwaukee, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
My dad's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on